can you attract more bees with a virtual honeypot? And why would you want to? Senior Google engineer Niels Provost discusses honeypots as a security tool and the pros and cons of going virtual today on IT Business Out Loud.
This podcast has been brought to you by IBM. Check out our IT Optimization to Meet Business Goals white paper and learn how new technologies can support innovative business strategies. Go to ibm.com/CIO.
Hi, this is IT Business Out Loud. I'm Shane Schick. Honeypots have demonstrated value as a part of a network security regimen. Senior Google engineer Niels Provost, together with doctorate student Thorsten Holtz, quite literally wrote the book. Virtual Honeypots, From Botnet Tracking to Intrusion Detection, was published last month on Pearson Education's Addison Wesley imprint. Provost spoke to OutLoud producer Dave Webb by phone last week.
Describe for me the notion of a honeypot.
A honeypot is essentially a resource that lets you find out things that you might not know of or be aware of before. So the basic idea is that you run some kind of computer system. It doesn't really have any use in your production network. I mean, it doesn't, you know, surf any web pages, or it doesn't really provide any services to regular visitors. And then you just monitor what happens to it. And the basic idea is that, you know, adversaries might, you know, try scanning your network or might try, you know, attack resources that you provide on your network. And any connection attempts to your honeypot are sort of suspicious by themselves because you wouldn't expect any regular visitor to ever to connect to such a system. And by carefully instrumenting it, you essentially get to see anything that a potential attacker might do with it. So they might end up compromising it with security vulnerabilities that, you know, nobody might yet have been aware of. And so as a result of, you know, getting your honeypot compromised, you might actually know about flaws that you didn't know of before. And then, you know, the other benefit is you might, you know, see how they further compromise your system, what kind of backdoors they install, or what kind of rootkits or other technologies they use. So the basic benefit of a honeypot then is that you can, you know, observe what potential adversaries might do with them.
Now you described two types of honeypot, lower interaction and high interaction. What's the difference between them?
It's really, you know, the degree to which an adversary gets to interact with the system. With a low interaction honeypot, we usually assume that the only interactions happen via the network and that an adversary might actually not be able to fully compromise it. And then the deployment of a low-interaction honeypot might be thought of as a wide-scale sensor. Because they don't require as many resources, you can have many more of them. So you could imagine that you deploy, you know, a low-interaction honeypot on 60,000 different IP addresses and then, you know, see what kind of scanning behavior you see or what other kind of network probes might be there. With a high-interaction honeypot, resource consumption is usually much higher, but it also allows an adversary to interact with it to a much larger degree. So, you know, instead of just probing it, you know, from the network and not really getting very far, they can actually, you know, fully compromise the system and go down to the operating system level, which would not be possible with a low interaction honeypot. So really, you can, you know, collect different kinds of information depending on what type of honeypot you deploy.
You've explained some of the benefits of using a honeypot. There's also some risk attached to it.
Yeah, so the risk, you know, is something that you need to consider before you deploy a honeypot. I mean, it's possible that if you deploy a high-interaction honeypot and that somebody compromises it, that they then use your computing resources to further compromise other systems on the Internet. And in the book, we describe some safeguards that everybody should take in order to mitigate that risk. But, I mean, really, in order to understand the risk that, you know, you are faced as an individual, you probably need to consult your own legal counsel and get their advice. And that might depend, you know, on which kind of institution you're operating in.
Okay. What's a virtual honeypot as opposed to a physical honeypot?
A virtual honeypot is really a honeypot that does not have a direct physical correspondence. So usually what we mean by that is that you might have, you know, one physical computer system on which you run several different virtual machines. And then these virtual machines would represent virtual honeypots. And the virtual honeypot essentially gives you much higher scaling because you can run multiple virtual honeypots in a single physical system. But the main benefit is really that it's much easier to maintain. If your virtual honeypot gets compromised, it's very easy to revert it to a safe snapshot where it was compromised. So you can essentially repeat your experiments without a lot of work, whereas if a physical honeypot gets compromised, usually it means that you have to reinstall the whole system, you know, format the hard disk and, and reinstall the operating system, which, you know, is much more time intensive and, you know, usually means that you spend much more work maintaining physical honeypots than as if you were just deploying virtual ones.
Niels Provost is the co-author with Thorsten Holtz of Virtual Honeypots, from botnet tracking to intrusion detection, and a senior staff engineer with Google. He spoke to Dave Webb from Mountain View, California. That's how it sounded this week on IT Business Out Loud. I'm Shane Schick. Thanks for listening.